Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. Great to see you all here on this wonderful day. Beautiful Oregon morning. Very special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us. If you live in the area and you're looking for a church to call your very own home, we'd love to have you join us, our little dysfunctional family of faith. And if you are traveling, we pray for safe travel and a joyful homecoming for you. Today is, always when we gather, the Sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part of our worship service, and all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at his table today. Also today, we reach the culmination of our annual fall stewardship campaign. At the end of the service, you'll be invited to bring your commitment form forward for your planned giving to God's work through atonement for 2020, and I'd invite you to place them in the baptismal font as a reminder that you received your calling to be stewards of God and servants of God in your baptism. So, we'll look forward to that. Extra forms are available on the table out by the mailboxes if you've forgotten yours, or if you'd like to mail it to the church or bring it to the church later, that's fine too. Once again, I remind you also that we're inviting you to bring, gently used coats, socks, mittens, gloves, and warm hats that will be given to those in need. There's some receptacles out by the pictures this morning. Some of those will be given to the Randy's Feed and Read group. And speaking of that, our Randy's Read and Feed program is this coming Thursday. There is information in the Words of the Week about how you can help. We also need some help at 3 o'clock to help set up. So if you're free then, come. A couple other things. On Wednesday at 12:30, the Welcome Group, the women of the church, will gather for their Bible study and fellowship out there in the library area, so please do come for that. There's a correction in the bulletin on the back of the Words of the Week. The Stone Soup will be held on Monday, October 28th, not August, although it might be August next year, I don't know. But anyway, Monday, October 28th, so make that correction. Raynette wanted me to ask people to sign up for November worship assistance. She's trying to get the newsletter ready to go, and she'd like to get all those positions filled. So if you would take a look at that sign up and fill it out when you can. This last Wednesday, we hosted 112 former bishops and their spouses who were in town for an event that they do every 2 years. They were over at the Agate Beach Best Western for most of the time, but on Wednesday, we fed them a meal downstairs, and then they came upstairs and had their closing worship. And it was really a beautiful, beautiful time. So, Bishop Swanson, Paul Swanson, sent me an email this morning with this. Thank you. Our inadequate words to express my appreciation to you and all the folks of Atonement for caring for the former bishops and spouses this past Wednesday. It was a wonderful evening, exceptional hospitality, wonderful meal, and worship in the Atonement Sanctuary inspiring. The comments from those who spoke to me were so gracious, appreciative, and in amazement of what your people did, caring and serving us with genuine hospitality. Thank you. So it makes me proud to be a pastor of this place because you did so well. And our praises will be sung all over the country. Did you want to say a word?
So I have two quick announcements. The first one is Altar Guild will be meeting on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. I forgot to get it to Raynette to get it in the bulletin. The other one is, yes, thank you for the wonderful time that we had on Wednesday. Several of the people asked how large our congregation was to have that many volunteers show up to help to feed them. So it was a wonderful evening. I'm sorry if you couldn't attend. Those of us that did, it's something I'm sure we won't forget, hearing all those voices sing here in the sanctuary just kind of resonated in everyone's heart. So many, many thanks, and we won't be doing it probably again for quite a while because they said they rarely get to go into a congregation.
Yeah,
to
most
be
of the
fed,
time they don't. Yeah.
And even for their church services, oftentimes they're held at whatever hotel they are staying at. So they felt that it was very, very special. And homemade cookies was the icing on the cake. When they came out of service, we almost had to shoo them out with a broom because they just wanted to stay.
I thought they'd pick up a cookie and head for the door because, you know, it's past their bedtime by then. But they stayed around here for the longest time. It was really a fun evening. Lastly, we are including also some thoughts about stewardship of our fragile planet as a part of our thoughts about stewardship. So this morning, Paul Ammons is going to share some words for us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Two of the three major freshwater river systems in the United States start in Montana. And I, for one, thought that freshwater would never end. It was the third river, most is the Colorado River. And most of the Colorado River, which comes out of the Rocky Mountains, doesn't even make it to the ocean. It's piped into Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Phoenix, and a little bit in Tucson, and some finally gets to Mexico, but I don't think the ocean gets wet at all. The Mississippi River, which starts in Montana, becomes polluted, so polluted, that they can't even use it for a freshwater system by the time it becomes the Mississippi. Most of the Columbia River waters that has its beginnings in Flathead Lake, Montana, get turned into electrical power, beginning with the Hungry Horse Dam near Kalispell and the Libby Dam, which is on the Kootenai River, and they call that dam the Kookanooska because it's part in the U.S. and part in Canada. And the water flows up into Canada and adds to their electrical power grid before heading south again. Because we have so much fresh water in this country, the United States has treated it as a never-ending source. Many cities along the major rivers dump their garbage and sewage into the water, into the rivers, like the Mississippi. Some has occurred in Washington and Oregon. There's a little bit of radio, we're unique in this regard. We have radioactive materials in our water. Here in Newport, we experience what seems to be never-ending rain. As a result, we've never worried about running out of water. We had an especially warm summer this past year with little rain, and Newport had a freshwater shortage. This was a temporary thing this year, but what about the coming years? The global warming phenomenon is huge. What can we as individuals, or what can we as a church possibly do about this? One thing we can do right away that will save a lot of water is to stop watering our lawns. It's easy to do right now because the rains are beginning again. It'll get harder next year when the rains stop and the lawns turn brown. We could devote the money we might save by not watering towards helping people in our community and by purchasing small water processing systems to help people around the world with drinking water. This is not to even mention the water we'd save for other uses in the community. This is a very small but important thing we could do to get more involved in helping people both locally and around the world. We as a church, this is kind of a switch of topics, but we as a church are collecting gently used outerwear to share with others in the community. Sally Jennings pointed out that up to 1,800 gallons of water is used to manufacture one pair of blue jeans. Multiply that by the 21 billion pounds of textile waste being thrown to landfills every year, and that's a lot of water. Gary Painter asked me how big a trillion gallons of water is, and if I did it right, it's about 8 cubic miles of water, and we use about 150 trillion gallons on textile waste. That's not quite that much, but overall, with the next thing, it's about 150 billion, a trillion gallons. Sarah Black pointed out that recycling aluminum cans takes a lot less energy than recycling plastic does. But manufacturing plastic in the first place takes 22 gallons of water to make 1 pound of plastic. And every year, we manufacture 7 trillion pounds of plastic. And those together are 150 trillion gallons of water. There are lots of ways for us to improve. Any of these, we could reuse clothing, we could reuse plastic, we could not use plastic. There are lots of ways. Pick one and get started. It's really extremely important to save some of this fresh water for the future of humankind, especially for our kids and grandkids.
Thank you, Paul. Please stand as we sing number 720, We Are Called. Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sinful ways and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. May God strengthen you in his grace to live as faithful stewards of his forgiving love.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise is number 857, and we will sing it twice.
You came from heaven to earth to show.
God, our Creator, you brought light out of darkness, giving us breath and life. Jesus, our Savior, you are the light of the world, bringing us grace and salvation. Spirit, our Advocate, you set us ablaze for the gospel, igniting us with love for God and our neighbors. Shine the light of your justice in our hearts, that we might love you and serve you with our whole selves. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Light on his feet, isn't he? Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Anything exciting going on?
My phone actually decided to walk.
Your phone decided to work. Well, that's always good. Snow. Wouldn't that be cool? How about you guys? Anything exciting going on? A birthday party to go to. Those are always fun.
After church.
After church? Yeah, better be after church. So I got a couple of things to show you here. What are these? I didn't say you could touch it. I said, what is it? What are they? They're rocks, right? An agate is a rock. So what's the difference between the two of them?
One is polished, one is dirty.
One is kind of regular, and one is polished. How does it get from that to that? How does it get polished? How does it get shiny?
They put it in a polisher. They carves it into something round and smooth, and then they shine it.
And how does it get shined?
You know?
You don't know? It goes in a tumbler. So it goes into a rock tumbler with some sand and some other rocks, and it just gets tumbled and tumbled and tumbled and tumbled and tumbled and tumbled and tumbled until this becomes this. Right? All right, so I was thinking about that in terms of our life of faith. God wants us to look like this, right? How do we get like that?
We get polished.
We get polished, all right. We get polished, all right. This week I read about some people who became afraid that the world was going to end, so they locked themselves out, I think, in some farm somewhere. You know how long they were there?
9 years.
And you know when they came out, what they looked like? They looked like that. Why? Do I hear anybody asking why?
Why?
Jesus tells us that we are to be in the world.
Not out.
Not out, not hiding somewhere. We are to be in the world. Now, being in the world is kind of a scary place to be. And when we're in the world, when we're doing God's work, when we're loving people and caring about people and sharing with people, we're going to get tumbled about, right? We're going to get tumbled about, but...
inside the world, but you're hiding in a barn, you're actually still inside the world, but you're just in a barn.
Technically, you're still in the world, but you're hiding in a barn somewhere or something. You're not being tumbled about because you're afraid. But Jesus said, you are in the world. We are in the world to be God's servants, right? We are to serve people. And when you do that, there's a lot of turmoil. I wish that the Christian faith were a safe haven, but it's not. We are in a broken world. We're called to be God's servants. And eventually, if we're faithful in being God's people, we're going to look like that, right? Instead of that. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for sending your Son to be our Savior and our Lord. And we thank you for the calling that you have given us to be your servants in this world. Lord, that's a very difficult calling for most of us, and it's one that we struggle with. But help us to be faithful. Help us to share what we have with others. Help us to share your love with others so that they can come here and join us in worshiping you. Make us shine, Lord, with faith, hope, and love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, kids, you can go up there for Sunday school. How's little Clara doing? Whoops.
Our first reading this morning is written in the first chapter of Isaiah. Through the prophet Isaiah, God decrees the empty religious rituals of his people and calls them to act justly, especially on behalf of those most vulnerable, beginning with verse 12. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you, even if you offer many prayers. I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphan and plead the case of the widow. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 107 responsively, and I'll start with the light print. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that God redeemed them from the hand of the foe.
He gathered them from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
They were hungry and thirsty, their spirits languished within them.
Then, in their trouble, they cried to the Lord, and you delivered them from their distress.
Let them give thanks to you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wonderful works for all people.
For you satisfy the thirsty soul and fill the hungry with good things.
Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of your deeds with shouts of joy.
Second reading this morning is found in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 4. The early church realized that God had abundantly blessed them, so they abundantly gave all would have what was needed for life. Hear now the word. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Now, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, as I mentioned earlier in the announcements, today is the culmination of our fall stewardship drive that's been centered around the theme, Stewards of God's Love. If you've been here the past 2 weeks, you've heard me mention that I'm approaching these services in a cruciform way. 2 weeks ago, we focused on God's coming down to us to fill our lives with countless blessings in his grace, mercy, and love. Last week, we focused on our movement inward to take inventory of all those blessings that God has given us with an attitude of gratitude. And finally, today, we come to the horizontal dimension, how we move from gratitude to service as we seek to be people who love and serve our neighbors. Again, I would say that when we live in this way, we form a cross with our lives, and we are faithful in our calling to be God's servant people in this world. Our theme verse for this series is from Matthew 22, where Jesus is asked by a lawyer teacher, which commandment is the greatest? And Jesus answered him by saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But for our service today, I've chosen the version of this story found in Luke's gospel. Again, it's a lawyer who confronts Jesus with a question, this one being, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, like the good rabbi he is, Jesus responds to him with a question of his own. You're a lawyer, you're an expert in the law. What is it that you find written there? How do you read it? The man answers by associating 2 Bible passages. The first, about loving God, comes from the book of Deuteronomy, and the second, the one about loving your neighbor, comes from Leviticus. Loving God and loving neighbor, this is what the man says, is at the heart of all Scripture. And Jesus responds by congratulating him. You have answered well. Do this, and you will live. Well, if you know anything about lawyers, you know that they love to turn short answers into long conversations. They're paid by the minute, right? So, the lawyer has a follow-up question for Jesus. Who is my neighbor? If we have to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, Who is it exactly that we have to heap all this love upon? This question and the story that follows is why I chose the version from Luke instead of Matthew for today. Jesus answers that question by telling a very familiar story that we know now as the parable of the Good Samaritan. I'm sure you're all quite familiar with that story about how a man is beaten and robbed and left for dead alongside the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Three people came upon the man as he lay there in the ditch, dying from his wounds. The first is a priest who sees the man and then passes by with no offer to help. Next, it's a Levite, another expert in religious law, who chances upon the man, but he too, after seeing him, passes by on the other side. Why these two men, both religious, pious religious Jews, pass by the wounded man, Luke doesn't tell us. But these are men who would have known those two Bible passages, would have known God's command to love neighbor, and yet they ignore the man and they go on their way. But the third man, a hated Samaritan no less, sees the man and acts. In pity for the man, he binds up his wounds, puts him on his own animal, and transports him to the nearest inn where he sees that the man will be well cared for. And then Jesus asks that lawyer the very pointed question, which of the three acted as a neighbor to the man who had been beaten? And the lawyer responded, the one who showed mercy, to which Jesus said, go and do likewise. You have answered correctly, do this and you will live. Go and do likewise. Jesus' words to the lawyer are a scary reminder that being right is not enough, that being religiously right is a far cry from showing mercy. Knowing good isn't good enough without doing the good. If you want to truly live, if you want to inherit eternal life, says Jesus, show mercy to your neighbor in need. So I find it interesting that in telling the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus flips the man's question. The right question is not, who is my neighbor? How far must I go? Who is included and who is excluded? But rather the right question is, who acted like a neighbor? So the emphasis for Jesus in the parable is not on helping us to determine who we are to view as our neighbor and whom we are to show our love to. Its focus is on the kind of people we are meant to be, active neighbors, as we live on the lookout for those who are in need of our help. The parable says of all three observers of the man in the ditch that they saw him. The first two engage in a twofold action. They see him, and in response to that sighting, they pass by on the other side. But the response of the third man is threefold. He saw him, he was moved with pity, and then he took concrete action to express his compassion by stooping to help the injured man. Excuse me. This threefold sequence of seeing, having compassion, and acting is seen in many other places in the Gospels, and it always reflects God's way of working in the world. In Luke's Gospel, when Jesus saw the woman weeping at the death of her only son, he had compassion for her, and he acted by bringing her son back to life. When the father saw the prodigal son still afar off, he had compassion on him, and he ran to embrace him and welcome him home. Matthew and Mark tell us repeatedly that Jesus saw the crowds, had compassion for their needs, and then healed them and fed them and taught them. And in the parable of the Last Judgment in Matthew 25, what makes some blessed is the fact that though they didn't realize it, in seeing the poor and the needy and helping them, they saw and they helped Jesus. And by contrast, what makes others cursed is that they never made the connection. They never saw Jesus suffering and in need because they never saw the poor. They just never saw. So this parable today ends really by not ending at all. We never hear whether the lawyer took Jesus' words to heart. We never hear if he begins to put God's word into action. We never hear whether he was moved from being right to showing mercy. We never hear whether he went and did likewise. And the reason for that, I think, is because this story really doesn't end, but now it continues in your life and in mine. For we are a people who have been richly blessed. God has made us his own and poured out upon us all the blessings that our gracious God has to give. As we've said before, it's a great privilege and joy to know that we have been chosen by God to be his people in this world. But we have been chosen for a purpose. We have been blessed to be a blessing. God has chosen us, but with that choosing comes a calling to love God and neighbor with everything that we have and everything that we are. So, brothers and sisters, the bottom line of stewardship, the bottom line of your faith is this: God, your God, loves you unconditionally. Now go and do likewise. Let us pray. Loving God of all creation, we belong to you. You have made us your own beloved sons and daughters and have blessed our lives in so many ways we cannot even begin to number them. In loving response to all that you have given to us, we consecrate ourselves to you by offering our whole selves as living sacrifices. We offer you our ears to hear your word. We offer you our mouths to sing your praise. We offer you our eyes to see the needs of our neighbors. We offer you our hands to share of the abundance that you have entrusted into our care. And we offer you our feet to go into the world sharing your love. May we shine, O God, as your lights in this community and in this world, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please stand now as we sing God's Work, Our Hands. It's printed in your bulletin.
Thank you.
on the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, who is love, and who has given the earth to all people. I believe in Jesus Christ, who came to heal us and to free us from all forms of oppression. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who works in and through all who are turned towards the truth. I believe in the community of faith, which is called to be caretakers of creation and servants of all people. I believe in God's power to finally destroy the power of sin in us all, and to establish the reign of justice and peace for all humankind. Amen. Knowing the one in whom we trust, and with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all in need. We give you thanks, O God, for the blessings of your church. Continue to guide and direct it in your will and your way, so that we may faithfully represent you in this world. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks, O God, for your abundant blessings, which are ours in the glory of your creation. Help us to exercise care in the use of the world's resources and to share our plenty with those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, O God, for the freedoms we enjoy. Guide us and all our leaders, that we may use our freedom and power to make the world a place of peace and prosperity for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, O God, for the gift of healing, and we ask that you might use us all to bring peace and comfort to all who are sick or in any need, remembering especially in our prayers today Norma Henning, Michelle Taylor, Kevin Lent, Judy Whitlatch, Ann Swinehart, Donna Bowman, Laura Cusick, Dan Rumagu, Linda Goble, John McKenzie, Will Black, Sanja Wiley, Sally Jennings, and the family of John Perry. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, O God, for the saints of every time and place who now sing your praises in your eternal kingdom. Keep us faithful to the end of our journey. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Trusting and delighting in you, we commend all our lives into your loving hands. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Share that peace with your brothers and sisters. I said the service will continue now with the offering. Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and to all, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send now your Holy Spirit upon us and our celebration, that we may be fed with the body and blood of your Son and be filled with your goodness and life. Through this holy meal, strengthen us to do your word and to be your body in the world. And give us your peace. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and
sacrament will be received today standing or kneeling at the altar railing and using the individual glasses. Again, the purple liquid on the outer rings is wine. The clear liquid in the center is grape juice. I also have gluten-free wafers available. If you have need of those, let me know when you come forward. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, taste and see that the Lord is indeed good.
Thank you.
God of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
May the beauty of God be reflected in your eyes, the love of God be reflected in your hands, the wisdom of God be reflected in your words, and the knowledge of God flow from your heart, that all might see, and seeing, believe.
Amen. Amen.
Our sending hymn is number 546. Baptismal font, and then join us for the celebration brunch.